main idea of the share last night was an observation on the efficacy of tshuva. We did last night the Yom Kippur share. So there was this Tana Dvel Yozuta that has a discussion between the angels and Hashem when they're looking for him. This is the end of history. They're looking for him. They can't find him. They go to Yeshaya and they say, where is God? And he said, and Yeshaya tells them, first they go to the mountains, the seas, they go to all of them. Nobody knows where God is. And he comes to Yeshaya, and Yeshaya says, he's just coming out from the press. There was like they used to have wine presses. He's just coming out from the press, and God comes out, and his clothes are soaked with red. And he said to him, where were you? And he said, I just came from the press. And he said, what he was doing? He said, well, I had to do it all when I crushed the enemies of my children. So then Hashem turns to Amalek and tells Amalek that he's holding him responsible for all of these averus, and that's why he's going to be excised from the world. And Amalek says, that's how powerful I am, that I'm capable of doing that to your people. So it says that God then takes all of the sins of Israel and he clothes himself in those sins, and then he washes these clothes, and the clothes become perfectly clean. That's the Yimyachateichem Kashani, even if your sins will be crimson, Kashelig Yalbin will become as white as snow. So, this scene where God holds Amalek responsible, then Amalek says, well, I'm responsible, and God then takes the sins and puts them on himself, and then washes them. So, I went to a lot of different places, but the main idea over here was that the essence of a Jew comes from the highest source. It comes from the throne of glory. It's an incorruptible essence. There's nothing, no matter how terrible a Jew is, but he cannot corrupt that essence. You can't corrupt God. And tshuva, in essence, really is when we go back to that essence. Over there, the Midrash says that Yaakov and Esav are like two people who go to a silo, or a place where they thresh grain, and one of them has lots of hair and the other one is bald. So when they walk away from there, the guy who's got the hair, a lot of hair, has all of this stuff tangled in his hair and can't get it out. That's Esav. Esav is a hairy person. It represents that presence in the world. Whereas Yaakov is Ishcholak. He's very smooth. It's gone. The point over there is that it doesn't become part of Yaakov. Yaakov just wipes it away. It's just on the surface. Whereas with Esav, it becomes part of it. It's tangled into it. So what I said was that when Jews are guilty of wrongdoing, it's invariably because they live in a polluted world, a world which is contaminated by the influence of Amalek, of evil, of the Satan, the world that is constantly engaging us and beating us up with these things. And it's very, very hard to maintain one's integrity and with all of this stuff going on. So God confronts Amalek, really the expression of Satan in this world system, holding you responsible. So Amalek said, when we rely on so powerful. So I mean, that part of it, that remains the way it is. God does hold Amalek. He does hold the Satan responsible for the fact he got caught up in its wrongdoing. But there's another aspect over here, and that is, now that Klal Yisrael has committed these wrongs, so what do we do about it? So Hashem takes these things, because in essence, the fact that there is evil in the world cannot happen without being part of God's design. God sustains the presence of evil so that there can be choice. So even though the Satan is responsible, there is an element over here where God holds himself responsible. But when God holds himself responsible, so God then takes these things and he puts them on. And what he's really saying then to the angels and to Amalek and to everybody is, I want you to understand that no Jew does something which is contrary to my will without sadness, without part of him being agitated, anguished about the fact that he's doing this. The Rebbe of Zisha once said as follows. He said, our sages tell us that whenever a person does a mitzvah, that he creates an angel. And whenever he does an avera, he creates a mashchis, an angel of destruction. So he says, I'm going to tell you, he says, I've seen the angels that Jews create with their mitzvahs. They're robust, they're healthy, they're vigorous, strong, really bubbling with energy. He says, then I see the angels that Jews create with their averas. He says, a Jew does an avera, he doesn't do it with his whole heart. Fact is, he's tempted, he can't, there's all kinds of stuff. Really, his heart aches, and there's some part of him that's not comfortable. So when he finally creates, he does this avera, and he creates this mashkes, this destructive angel, he said, it's a sickly-looking angel. It's crippled, missing an arm, an eye, a leg. It's not a healthy angel. So what Hashem was saying to him is, I'm going to take upon myself, to the extent that, in the last analysis, that the Jews did something wrong, it's a product of a world in which I allowed evil to exist. So I'm going to tell you, but I want to show you something really interesting. I'm going to wash these clothes. Now, if these things would be etched into the being of a Jew, so you can wash them today, tomorrow, it's stained. Fantastic. You can get it out. He says, but watch what happens. He says, I wash them and it all goes out. And he said, the reason it all goes out is because the nature of the Jew is pure. So that's the allusion by the prophet, even if your sins will be like crimson, I'll wash them and it'll be like as white as snow. That's kind of becomes really the understanding with which we approach Hashem. Some people believe that when they say to Hashem, I'm sorry, that they're being hypocritical. But they're really not. Even if they know that they can't deliver everything that they would like to deliver, but their essence means it. And that's why Tshuva works, and that's why Yom Kippur works. The Reader's Digest condensed version.